This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, we are back. It's week 7 of the National Football League. Thanks for joining us here on SB Nation AM and SB Nation Radio. It's so funny, we're at the halfway point of the season almost. I don't know how you guys view the halfway point. I'm old school, so to me it's week 8. Because of the 17 weeks now in the season, that it's more week 9, if you want to put it that way. But it's so funny how things change throughout the season, right? We always make proclamations at the beginning of the year saying, we know this team. And then it takes a couple of games and we realize, oh, maybe we don't know that team as well as we thought we did. You know, we look at the Oakland Raiders, for example, and, you know, at the beginning of the season, the same old Raiders. But then they start winning some games. You're like, well, maybe John Gruden is doing something really good here. Maybe he's really producing something. And then they have this one game at Lambeau Field against Green Bay, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I want to backtrack a little bit. And it's the same with the Packers. And this game is kind of a microcosm of all the games that occurred, right? Where we thought we knew about a particular team, and now we're starting to see maybe we were wrong. At the beginning of the season, the Green Bay Packers were all about defense. Is Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, are they on the same page offensively? But defensively, they're really good. That's how they won their first couple of games of the season. Oh, goodness, how things have changed. Now, all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is becoming a legitimate MVP level candidate, right? Without weapons that he normally has, he's been producing offensively for a team that is 6-1 now. And he threw 5 touchdown passes with no interceptions and even ran for a touchdown. Now, listen, you're going to hear me say this again with another individual, but these are college numbers that they're putting up in the NFL. These are numbers that you see on big level college games, not against cupcakes even per se, but just the way a team is that can be that efficient. So we make these ideas of where we think teams are going, and then all of a sudden it switches. Now, the cool thing about the NFL is it can switch again, right? We can look at the Raiders and say, oh, that's a struggling team. And maybe now a few weeks down the road, they win a few more games. We start going, John Gruden's got something in Oakland again. I doubt we'll be saying the same thing about the Packers. The defense is playing well, and Aaron Rodgers, again, is on a plane where things are clicking and things are connecting. But it's just one game, and there are many, and we're going to get to a lot of them. About how you think you know something, you don't necessarily know something, but then you may go back to it again as the season progresses. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hope you had a good weekend. I spent most of the weekend sick, but I was better yesterday.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, no, it stinks. Especially Friday. I had the Friday off because I was sick, and I thought, oh, I'll get over this cold. It ended up being a lot worse, and then I got through it. Saturday, I got to do the whole, hey, dad's out, he's sick, so leave him alone thing, which was really cool.
Yeah, actually, especially on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. Like, my wife would come up, how you doing, what do you need? I'm like, this is great. This is fantastic. Everybody gets to leave me alone. I get to watch football, hang out.
Did you ever at one point turn to her on that Saturday and say, yeah, for your team to stop doing what they're doing?
Well, that was the other part of it. It was cool until I watched South Carolina lose to Florida, which is the big divided house day, that we have house divided day in my house. And you know what stunk? We always have this rule when we watch the game together that we can't change the channel. Like, we have to watch every game until the very, very end. Even in blowouts. I had to sit through 52-10. Like, I sit through all of these games. So, this one really stung a little bit because South Carolina led, looked good at times, and then Florida, Kyle Trask couldn't throw the ball, and then South Carolina was like giving the game away, and I just had to watch it till the very end. And I was begging her too. I was like, "Do you want to watch a Christmas movie? Do you want to watch Hallmark? Whatever it is you watch, I don't know. Is there a Christmas special where this evil guy doesn't believe in Christmas until he finds a small town girl who just falls in love with him and tells him how all the holidays are great? Do you want to watch anything like that at all in the final 3 minutes of this game?
I think I've seen that movie.
Yeah, right. They're all the same." And she was like, nope, watching it to the very end. And I was like, ah. But then afterwards, I settled in, watched the World Series, watched Alabama-Tennessee, watched a number of other things. So that was my my sick day Saturday. And then yesterday, I felt a little bit better and did some things and watched as much football as I could get yesterday. I thought there was a lot of good storylines coming out. I watched a lot of the Minnesota-Detroit game. That was one of the local games here in Nashville before the Titans played the Chargers. And are you amazed how good the Vikings have become since all of the receivers were calling out Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. It's almost as if he stepped it up to a different level now.
Yeah, like you don't want this. The whole adage is you don't want this, your dirty laundry, to go out in the public. Like, that's all coaches love to control that. Let's not air our dirty laundry out in the public. And all of a sudden, you had Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs talking about Kirk Cousins in a different way, in just using euphemisms and sort of different types of language to talk about how frustrated they are with the offense. And then it's like Kirk Cousins said, "No, guys, you're absolutely correct. I'll switch it up. I'll change it." He threw four touchdowns and looked great. I mean, he was throwing balls that were just perfectly placed. It wasn't like his receivers were wide open all the time. That's a good Detroit Lions defense that he did that against. And that's two tough losses for the Lions. Back now it's three straight, but it is two tough losses given the division. You can handle the loss to the Chiefs. It's tough, but you played the Packers well enough to win. You could talk about the refs costing them that game, but that's another tough divisional loss. Against the Vikings in a division that's very tough now, really tough to get back in the race.
Yeah, because I mean, when you watch it, the Lions are a good football team,
really good football team. Loss didn't change my mind about them at all.
No, they're not the Lions of the past 5 years, 6 years, where it's just doormat, easy game for everyone else in the NFC North. They're a good football team. They're going to finish the game strong. They've just been on the wrong end of it twice now.
Yeah, they're 2-3-1 now. And by the way, Marvin Jones had four touchdowns. How many fantasy football jokes I've seen all day, most of the day yesterday and even today about some auto draft guy who had put Marvin Jones in his lineup and got a four touchdown day from him. But then, no, you're right though. That's a good team. Like, they've lost three straight games to three teams that have serious Super Bowl aspirations. In the Chiefs, Packers, and the Vikings. There's no harm in that. The problem is the division is two of those games are in divisions in the division, and two of those teams that they lost to within the divisions have Super Bowl aspirations. So it's hard to be a team that's trying to vie for a spot in the postseason in a division where two of your losses have come against guys in your own division who are very, very good in the Packers and the Vikings. Now, they've got some games coming up against the Giants and the Raiders and the Redskins and then down the line where they can pick up some wins. And we'll see about the Bears because the Bears struggled yesterday, too. But this is a good Lions team. I agree with you. There's nothing changed my mind about them. I just thought the Vikings were better yesterday. The Buffalo Bills keep winning. They're now 5-1, beating the Dolphins. There was no problems with that. Although, once again, here we are with the Dolphins finding another way to be hilarious in how they want to lose games. We talked about this last week. I couldn't stop laughing last week at the 2-point conversion against Washington that was ridiculous. Well, here was another one. The Dolphins score a touchdown with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who scored from 11 yards out on a run, by the way, to cut the lead to 24-21 with a minute 40 and change. And so you're thinking, oh, here are the Dolphins making this interesting. Fitzmagic trying to do something good here. Let's get an onside kick, which never works. But you know what does usually work in an onside kick situation? What usually works in an onside kick is the recovering team, the team recovers the ball and stops. You know what they don't do? They don't return it for a touchdown. And that's what Micah Hyde did. The Miami Dolphins, an onside kick in which Micah Hyde catches it, lands on his feet and goes, hey, there's nobody here. I can scamper in 45 yards for a touchdown. And boom, it's a 10-point game. And that's how they win it. Unbelievable. I mean, look, listen, is this as blatant as the stupid two-point conversion last week against the Redskins? No. But it's still, in one of those, hey, guys, do you remember the 2019 Miami Dolphins? Would you love the season video? Yeah, I love the season video of all these plays that we barely see, never see again. How many times in your life have you seen an onside kick return for a touchdown by the opposing team? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Zero? I mean, seriously. I don't think I've ever seen it in my life. Because, again, when you're recovering an onside kick, your goal isn't to return. Your goal is to just recover and go down. You're going to have the ball. You're going to eat the clock. You're going to end the game. But you don't see a guy who has an opportunity to return it for a touchdown. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's like a comet that comes by Earth every 300 years or something.
Right.
That's how often those happen.
This is great because somebody on Twitter will point out like a game like in 2016 had one and I missed it, but I didn't see it. Like I saw this one and I went, "Oh, you got to be kidding!"
What we're trying to say is that it's not a common play in football.
Right, exactly. An onside kick return for a touchdown.
This Especially game, one of those where, all he did was jump, and everyone just kind of stopped and watched him fly through the air, and then he jumped well enough to get past the line, and then he took off, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, we probably should have tackled him.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and again, his situation is a little different because he saw, like, a lot of pay dirt. But you really don't want anybody running the football because they could get tackled and lose the ball.
Yep.
Which deflates the whole purpose of having your hands team in there in the first place. Is that if you're trying to, if you catch the ball and you say, well, I'm going to try to do something with it, I bet you every coach would say, get down, get down. We're not here to advance the ball. We're here just to recover it and end this game. Like, that's our goal. But he lands. He jumps up and he spins and he lands. And I think for a split second went, oh, look at this. I've got running room. Oh, I've got not only running room, everybody. I'm ahead of everybody.
Even though he's wearing a helmet, you could tell he's shocked.
Oh, yeah.
He just had that look like wow. What am I supposed to do right
now? And there are Dolphins players that are kind of frozen in the moment, right? They're like, oh, look at that. He's gone. They're not ready for it. Because, again, when are you ready for somebody returning an onside kick? But, again, if you didn't watch any football yesterday, and I said, just off the top of your head, which team tried an onside kick which was returned the other way for a touchdown? If you didn't guess Miami in your first three guesses, you haven't been paying attention to the season because that's exactly what's going on with these Dolphins. You know what? I'm expecting next week for like three Hail Marys to work against an opponent. Like for whatever reason, they just threw three Hail Marys and all of them, they were all touchdowns. When was the last time you ever saw that? I mean, it's nuts. This team is losing in all sorts of crazy ways at 0-6. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Plus, we now have a World Series as we got to get discussing the Astros and the Nationals, which starts tomorrow. And some college football as well, including a controversy in the third Saturday in October. It's all coming up. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one of every four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, looking at week 7 in the NFL, again, some teams that made some noise, some teams that didn't make any noise. The Atlanta Falcons. All right, listen, I didn't expect them to beat the LA Rams without question. But what an awful day it was in Atlanta for the Falcons. They lose to the Rams. Okay, fine. They're the Rams. And they're not going to be down for long. But this was a game in which Atlanta lost Matt Ryan to an ankle injury. And Devontae Freeman got ejected for trying to punch Aaron Donald. Where did he get the courage juice to do something like that?
It was Michael's secret stuff.
Right. Yes. Where in the world did he get that kind of gumption to go up against Aaron Donald? Like, all the Rams you could have picked a fight with, that was not the guy. And you know what? You know who knew that? Aaron Donald. Like, Aaron Donald reminds me of, like, when a little kid gets really mad and wants to punch his dad and the dad just holds him. Like, I know. You don't want, I know. And he's just, ah! That's what that looked like to me. Like, Donald was like, all right, listen, man, you want this? All right, fine. All right, whatever. And he punched him in the helmet, which is stupid. Who punches people in helmets? This must have been so aggravating for him. He got ejected.
Well, the best thing about it is he got ejected, and Aaron Donald lifted him off the ground.
I know. Just went, whoop, here you go.
Kind of reminds me of a hockey fight.
Right. Oh, right.
The loser always the one that goes to the penalty box.
I know. Donald was like, I'm not, you know, no, never mind. What a tough, it's just another disaster for Atlanta. And listen, I don't think they get rid of Quinn in the middle of the season, but they definitely need to go in another direction. The defense stinks. The offense isn't even good. When Ryan's in the game, it's not even that good. Forget, Matt Schaub was 6-for-6, but it was a little too late. The Rams just cruised on. The Falcons turned the ball over 4 times. They have now lost, what, 5 in a row, whatever it is, for the Falcons right now. It's just abysmal. And the team, this is what it is. Look, there's no turnaround here. They're not going to the playoffs. There's no quick fix. But you have to ask yourself in management, has he lost the team, right, for future games, for future seasons? Is this a Falcons team that needs a brand new voice, that needs somebody to come in and redirect it? And that's the gamble, right? Because sometimes a new coach isn't an instant fix. It takes a while. Maybe it takes a season or two to really build in your system. And do they have that kind of time with Matt Ryan at quarterback? And do they have that kind of time at all? So that's Tom Dimitrioff. He's got to figure that out. And Arthur Blank, of course, but man, it is just a bad football team across the board. Nothing's working. And it was with Freeman punching Donald, it was almost comical. Look, again, I didn't expect them to beat the Rams, and I'm not disappointed that they didn't beat the Rams, but the Rams just rolled like you would think. So I don't know. And I feel bad because Quinn is a really well-respected guy around the league, and he's going to land on his feet quickly. As soon as he's let go, whenever that moment is. And again, I don't know if it's a let go situation in midseason. I kind of doubt it. But this team's falling apart. It's amazing. So that you got that going on in that division. And how about the New Orleans Saints again? Again, this was a game that was, if there was a game tailor made for them to lose on this run with Teddy Bridgewater, wasn't this the one? Against a Bears defense that had 2 weeks off, you know, coming off the game against London a few weeks ago when they played the Raiders, right? Mitchell Trubisky was coming back. Okay, that might have been a little bit of an X factor, but nevertheless, defense, 2 weeks to prepare. Saints didn't have Alvin Kamara. And, you know, you expect the Teddy Bridgewater train to end at some point. Nope.
It's unreal.
They go to Soldier Field and they win, and they beat the Bears, and now they're 6-1. 6-1 without Drew Brees.
All right, is this a case where we sit there and go, okay, the Saints are an incredible team, probably the best team in the
NFL? Incredible.
Or is it Teddy Bridgewater just has that much magic in him?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the best. Like we've been saying this since when we realized that there was a run going. This is the best coaching job Sean Payton, I think, has ever done.
I mean, it's insane.
Like, you're going on the road in the NFL against a team that has had 2 weeks to prepare for you. You're without your star quarterback, albeit the backup in Teddy Bridgewater is a veteran and is playing great. Well, I don't even want to say great. He's not even playing, you know, it's not like his eye-popping massively, you know, massive statistics here. But they're playing well. Breeze is out. Kamara's out. All right. The Bears have, again, as good as that defense is, they had 2 weeks to put together a game plan.
Against Bridgewater.
And they're home. They're at home. We always talk about this, how tough it is to win on the road. I don't care who you play. And the Saints emerge with the victory and put up 36 points.
I mean, what did we say when Drew first went down? It was like, you know what? The best that the Saints are hoping for is what? Bridgewater to go 3-3 to split the difference?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, now I know it's not fathomable and it's not even an idea, but now you're almost flirting with the idea like, okay, do you just kind of wait? I mean, is there going to be a brooding quarterback controversy in New Orleans?
Yeah, I kind of
doubt
hope
it.
Not. Yeah.
I doubt it because, you know, Drew Brees is probably the most beloved figure in New Orleans since Mardi Gras. I don't know. Since the Mannings. But, you know, it starts to become one of those things. If Drew Brees comes back and they start to lose, do you insert Teddy Bridgewater?
See, that's the thing. But, that's the weird dilemma.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. Latavius Murray had a great game on the ground. Remember, too, about this game.
Who?
Yeah. this game was 36-10 with like 3 minutes remaining.
Yeah, it was over.
The Bears scored two inconsequential touchdowns in the final two and a half minutes.
Now, I will say this, because you and I have been big proponents of this for a long time, that onside kicks don't work. Saw it happen in college. I can't remember which. I think it was Miami of Ohio versus someone.
Yep.
And saw it yesterday. I think they found a secret to making onside kicks work, which is just kick it directly at someone.
Right. That is very true. I'm glad, that's a good point. Kick it directly at someone and make it so it's too much to handle.
Yeah.
And create some chaos where you can go for
the
chaos.
The Miami of Ohio one, that was funny because it bounced off the kid's helmet.
Right.
Right to their own team.
That was the best.
We saw it. I mean, it pretty much came close to happening twice yesterday for the Bears. It would have happened that second time, except the guy who recovered it, who I don't know, stepped out of bounds. And I guess he didn't reestablish himself on the playing field. That's a stupid rule, by the way.
That is really dumb. But still, you know. But their offense was in nothing. I mean, they got a kickoff return for a touchdown and then a field goal, and that was all they had.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky was terrible. And now you got a problem in Chicago where you've got this really good defense, but you don't have this quarterback that can elevate your team to the next place.
Not only that, but I mean, you know, the reason why 36 points was it was 36 were scored against the Bears because the defense was on the field the entire time.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. You got to have cooperation with your offense if the defense is going to be effective. You can't have them out there gassed all the time because you can't move the ball.
I mean, they're a great defense. We're not going to take anything away from the Bears defense, probably one of the best in the league. But when you're playing like 50 minutes a game, any team, the Dolphins would be able to score against you and take advantage of that.
That's right. Listen, Breeze is expected to return to practice this week. There's an opportunity for him to maybe see some action against the Cardinals coming this week.
But I
think you just look. There is no rush. There is no rush. This team, again, is off to a 6-1 start. You've got this weekend against the Cardinals. Now, listen, the Cardinals are winning a few games, but this is a very winnable game for the Saints. Don't do the look-ahead flu or anything like that. Then you've got a bye week. Then you play the Falcons and Buccaneers. Relax. You want Breeze to play, I get it, but you can take your time with this and get him really ready to return so he can tear up the league when he does return and the Saints become the most formidable team in the NFC.
I mean,
that's what you do.
I would not insert him at all this coming weekend.
No, not with the bye week coming.
Take your time, Drew. And Drew's probably sitting back going, like, you know, why am I going to hurry?
Yeah, why
I don't
not?
Need to.
They're rolling now.
I mean, aside from those competitive juices that are flowing through him, there's no reason for him to get in.
And again, he's won five straight, and he's not winning these games against all the schlubs in the league.
No.
He beat the Seahawks. He beat the Cowboys when the Cowboys were thought to be really good. He beat the Buccaneers when we saw the Buccaneers play and beat the Rams. He's beaten the Bears. We continue to look at and say, we don't think they're terrible. These are good. And the Jaguars with Minshew mania. In full force. These are five really good wins for New Orleans. Really good. And again, you're right. If he had just gone 3-3, the Saints would have taken it on that day in week two where they knew they were going to have to go with Bridgewater. They would have taken it.
Now he's
5-0. It's incredible. Unbelievable. All right, coming up, I want to switch gears to college because there's a controversy brewing and it's brewing hot. But it depends if you're new school or old school. Next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way, when you do that. So let me tell you about my Saturday night. So again, I was dealing with this illness, and I got to basically relax Saturday. And so I'm chilling out and getting the TV to myself. Nobody wants to be near me. Son and daughter are off to do crazy things. Wife's downstairs. So I'm watching the World Series, and I'm watching Alabama-Tennessee. And I live in Nashville, so Alabama-Tennessee is a big deal. It's third Saturday, October, kind of rivalry. But it hasn't been much of a rivalry at all, because Alabama has won 12 straight against Tennessee. And Nick Saban's never lost to them while the head coach at Alabama. But I watch the top of the ninth inning, and I get to see DJ LeMahieu's game-tying two-run home run, which all of a sudden made me think, oh, we're into something now. Because I thought if the Yankees could win that game, right, give it, you know, maybe give a shot in game seven. I know Cole was going to go, but yeah, you never know. Anyway, I then switch back over to the Tennessee game, and this is what I want to get to. I switch over to the Tennessee-Alabama game. And the Vols are playing with Alabama a bit. Tua went down with the ankle injury, and they're kind of playing with Alabama a bit. And it's the fourth quarter, and it's late. And Tennessee has a chance to make it a one-score game. It's 28-13 at the time. And if Tennessee punches this in, you know, and they go for, you know, go get the extra point, it'd be 28-20. It's an 8-point game. One score. And a 2-point conversion. And Jarrett Garantano goes for the touchdown with a quarterback sneak. He's the quarterback for Tennessee. So he fumbles the ball. And Alabama returns it 100 yards for a touchdown and basically puts the game away. After that play, if you hung on to the broadcast, you would have seen Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach of Tennessee, lose his mind. I mean, lose his mind. And there was some speculation as to, did Garantano check out of a play that was called and decided to do the quarterback sneak and try to jump and extend? All the speculation. And in the moment that Jeremy Pruitt is heated, I mean, he is heated, and you can see it, and he is pointing, he is yelling, he is dressing down his quarterback. He grabs the helmet. He does the helmet pull. All right, now we've got social media controversy. And I call it that because that's where people go to immediately, right? There's no need for this. Or people are going onto Twitter to say, those of you who are criticizing this, don't criticize this. So it becomes a social media controversy. If you're old school, you kind of saw this a lot. If you're new school, you say, well, those are Neanderthal days of the sport. We don't need this anymore. Never grab a helmet, a face mask of a helmet. Never pull it. Never lay your hands on a kid, even though you're not touching him. You are grabbing his helmet and pulling it. Look, I grew up in a time where I saw this happen a lot on television. I would see it every now and then. I kind of took it for granted that this is how coaches did their thing. You know, but I grew up in a time where there wasn't instant social media, right? There wasn't instant reaction. If you wanted to write a column about a coach who grabbed a kid's helmet and pulled it, and you think that the time calls for a different measure, you'd have to write it, print it, put it in the paper the next day. Now it's instant. Right, you can go there instantly and see the clip of Jeremy Pruitt doing this and all of the reactions to it. From, again, this should never be allowed. This should never be acceptable to get over it. This is how football is. This is what you do. You know, to me, I don't want to automatically assume that a coach and a player have a very good relationship. And there's this father figure aspect to the relationship. We always tend to do that. We always tend to assume that the quarterback or the running back or whoever makes the mistake, that the coach is being very parental when he is shaping the young man. It is quite possible, because I don't know the relationship between the coach and the quarterback, it is quite possible that the coach just lost his mind because he wants to win this game very badly, and this kid cost him the opportunity to do just that. That he knew that winning this game would put his program in a different light, him in a different light, his position with the school in a different light, and this person, this individual, ruined that, and I'm angry. It's quite possible that that's the case. But it's also quite possible that that by checking off that play, and then the Tennessee player said they did, by checking off that play at the line and calling his own thing, that wasn't appropriate. That wasn't what he has been trained to do. And this was a disciplinary measure by the head coach to a guy he is trying to shape into a good quarterback, into a leader. That you checked out of that play, I do not allow that. I do not want you to, it's whatever it is. I may not feel the same way about the face mask grabbing as another generation. But I am open to the idea that coaches shouldn't do that, but I don't see, it's not a hill I'm willing to die on, if you know what I mean. It's not one of those issues that I'm like adamant that there's a snowflake culture or whatever it is like that. I get it. But in my world, I don't lose my mind when I see it. In my world, I need to see something real egregious for me to really feel like the coach-player relationship is broken down. A slap in the face, for example, is something that I would get up in arms about. A tug on a face mask is not really something I'm going to lose my mind over. And that's different from the way a lot of people view this. But I think we are prone in this sports culture, especially, to really jump on things really quickly without realizing the details, or without knowing the details. Like I told you, I just gave you two examples of a coach-player relationship, and I know neither one of them. I don't know either one of them. I don't know if Garantano and Pruitt are cool with each other so much that Pruitt has carte blanche to mold him into the best quarterback he can be. And sometimes it means getting dressed down in front of his teammates on national television. Or I don't know if it's a relationship that is so businesslike that Garantano is like, nope, I don't have time in my life for this. You know, it's funny. I was dealing in the radio business. I was dealing with this issue where we had this, I had this, program director that was very critical of a lot of the talent that we were bringing in. And I remember telling him, I was like, listen, one of the things that we have to be careful of is that even though you want to groom these guys into being really good hosts, and these were like big name people that were trying to do stuff, I said, a lot of people don't have time in their lives for that kind of growth that you're trying to give them. Like, you're doing it in a way that people go, nah, this is too much. Like, the way you're doing it, I don't have time for it. And he used to tell me, well, they got to learn to have a thick skin. I said, yeah, but at the same time, they don't have time in their life for it. And we kind of want them to have time in their life for it. So we might have to do this in a different approach. And it's the same thing here. You know, players now with opportunities to get out of a program, to realize that they only have 4 to 5 years to have their college career. Some of them don't want to play for a coach like this. Some of them say, I don't need this. I don't need this dressing down. I tried to do something. I had the success of the team at the forefront of my mind. And I made a decision based on what I saw, and it was the wrong decision, and it turned out to a disastrous, but I didn't do it on purpose. Right? This wasn't a reckless call. I just tried to do something based on what I saw as the quarterback of this team, and I don't need this nonsense. And some other players would look at it and say, no. Take me to task, because this is how I grow. This is how I grow. But it is amazing. Watch, if this happens again at some point in college football, just watch how people jump on this without any real knowledge of what the relationship is. It's really amazing. You know, as parents, you know, if you have a kid who's in sports, my daughter plays basketball. She played basketball for a really, really tough coach. And I remember my wife, she'd be like, oh, I don't know what we should do. What should we talk to him? I said, don't do a thing. I was like, no, don't do a thing. let's see how she responds to this. And she ended up being a better player when she was done with it. And she said, "That's I like that. I like it. Because he cares, he knows my name, and he really, really is in, and he expects me to do this, and when I don't do it, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind the toughness." And to some players, a tug on the face mask is what they grew up with. So is it a controversy? Social media world, yeah. Is it a controversy out there? Well, you might have some people in Tennessee right now wondering about the mindset of Jeremy Pruitt, but you also have a lot of people saying, you know what, he's a tough coach, and that was a dumb play, and that was a dumb decision, and he needed to drive that home. And, you know, I can only imagine the frustration. You're going in for a touchdown to make it a one-score game against Alabama, who lost their starting quarterback. And all of a sudden now, it is 35-13 based on one quick, I mean, going in for a touchdown, 1 yard out to a 100-yard fumble return for a touchdown. I'm amazed he only tugged the face mask. I'm amazed he had that much restraint to do that. Because it's, I can, all of it flushed down the toilet. The whole game is gone. The whole game is gone at that particular moment. And it was not because you called the play, it was because he changed the play. And after he changed the play, that was it. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We roll along. It is a Monday. And one other thought about Monday Night Football tonight, Patriots and Jets. You may watch, but for another reason. Next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. It's the Patriots and the Jets. Doesn't seem all that awesome and exciting, but people can't wait. Because there's going to be a new Star Wars trailer.
Yep.
That's going to be in the football. Do they know when, so we can just not sit through a terrible Monday Night Football game if that's what you're into?
I think typically it's always been during halftime.
Oh, halftime.
So I'm going to go like with halftime.
Okay. Go with halftime.
Because I think they need to tease it during the first half. And then I think they'll show, I mean, it'll probably be the most watched halftime show of the year.
Probably. This movie better be good.
All I know is I'm setting the DVR. That way if I get bored of the game and forget that was going to happen.
That is so old school. Set the DVR. This will be on YouTube in 8 seconds as it airs.
But there's something about seeing it on the TV.
Oh, all right. Well, it's a trailer. It's not a movie.
Yeah. Nah, still. It's a mini movie.
All right.
It's a 2-minute movie.
This movie better be good, J.J. Abrams.
You better tie, be good. Tie up a lot of loose ends.
Well, what loose ends are we tying up?
I don't know.
When they say that, I'm like, well, what loose ends are we tying up? Everybody's dead from the original.
Yeah, one literally.
You know, yeah. Well, I know. She's not dead in the movie yet.
She's not dead in the movie, but we all know that she has to die in this movie.
Luke is gone.
There's no way
Han
you can keep her
gone.
Alive.
Chewie's still kicking around. Robots don't die.
Luke isn't, you know, no one ever really dies.
Well, he's a force ghost.
If you're looking at if you listen to the preview, no one has ever really gone.
Right, true. Not bringing Darth Vader back.
Why not? Bring him back.
They should. Why not?
They keep hinting.
Exactly.
Are they going to do the ghost montage? Just have everyone kind of hanging out with each other.
You're making me depressed, because when I start thinking about this, I'm like, yeah, they probably would do that.
Are they going to bring Alec Guinness back?
No, Alex Guinness, he hated being in those movies. He hated those movies. Alex Guinness was like a Shakespearean actor. And he got this script with like this basic dialogue from this young director writer. He's like, what is this? Let alone to be the biggest thing he's ever been in.
I wonder if what he had to do to entice him to be in it.
That's true, right?
You think back, like, you know, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, they were just lucky to have a job.
Young guys just wanted a job. Harrison Ford was like a carpenter or something like that, wasn't he? Like, just like, give me a job in Hollywood.
He had
a couple of small movies.
He had a brief cameo in American Graffiti.
American Graffiti.
And that, you know, everyone was like, oh, you know, let's point at this, and became the biggest action star of the 80s.
Carrie Fisher was Debbie Reynolds' daughter, was trying to get into it. Mark Hamill was a young kid trying to get in on it. They got Alex Guinness. It's like you see this occasionally where, you know, like a movie has got nothing, but they got enough money to get one star,
right?
And it becomes like a cult classic. And these were three gigantic movies that he was in, and those who knew of his work. You know, we're probably like, no, this, you know, I'm like, that's Obi-Wan. And they're like, no, he's Alex Guinness. He's in all these movies, Bridge on the River Kwai, all these other movies. And I'm like, I don't know. He looks like Obi-Wan to me. That's all I'm going to remember him as. And that's it. That's where it went.
Because here's the only issue I'm going to have. I mean, and it'll probably end up being this way. Because in all the other movies, Alex Guinness was the ghost.
That's true.
But now you might go back, would you use Ewan McGregor? Because he's all about being Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. You'd be Ewan McGregor.
But can a ghost go back in time?
Yeah.
Can he just regress in age?
What if this game is close tonight, really close, like it looks like the Patriots will lose, and you have the Star Wars trailer?
Well, that's
might be
the
highest rated NFL Monday night game of them all.
That'd be the best of both worlds. If Sam Darnold is taking Tom Brady to task.
Yeah, but it's like, if all of a sudden you're like, why is it 35-3 at halftime, Jets? Oh my God, I got to tune in.
It'd be the best scenario for NFL.
Everybody wants to see the Patriots lose, except you Patriot fans. And then all these people want to watch the trailer for the new Star Wars movie. All a perfect storm for Monday Night Football tonight. Joe Testator and Boogie McFarland better be on their game.